Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in to a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. So happy to have my guest today in studio, BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon. Gary, thanks for taking a few minutes.
I appreciate you for having me on.
All right, let's start here. The Gary versus Jerry thing. How often do people mess that up on a daily basis?
Literally 100 times a day. It's a daily basis thing. Been dealing with it my entire life, honestly, but I'm used to it. I kind of expect it at this point.
Right.
But I always make sure I recognize and acknowledge the people that get it right the first time. So
are you one? Because sometimes this can be uncomfortable to correct other people. Are you one that will correct them and say, "I'm sorry, it's not Jerry, it's Gary"? Do you do that?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's my name. I take pride in my name, so I make sure that I correct them in a proper manner.
Okay, so when people meet you for the first time that don't know you, okay, do they go more with Jerry or Gary? What do you get? You get Jerry the most?
Yes, sir. Jerry.
Yeah.
For sure. Not even close.
Really?
It's rare. It's like maybe out of 20 times, two people say Gary.
So
maybe.
when somebody who doesn't know you comes up and calls you Gary, that's probably quite the feeling that, hey, they finally got this thing right.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, okay, I'll make sure I tell them, you got that right, that's rare, for sure.
All right, well, I wanted to get that out of the way because, like you said, you've dealt with it your whole life, and I assume that was the case. It is pretty funny, though, sitting here talking with you, because I'm immediately taken back to, you know, the two previous games where you were the opposing quarterback, and I was preparing for you as the opposing quarterback. And it's funny to be talking to you now, and obviously we're talking about when you were at Baylor and then when you were with South Florida, with USF. How has the adjustment been from your previous schools now here to BYU?
I'm going to say the biggest adjustment been the weather so far. It's my first time seriously dealing with snow, and I mean here the weather's a little bipolar. Yesterday you got snow and sleet early in the day, then next thing you know, it was beautiful outside. But honestly, my adjustment with the guys, with the coaches, has been very, very smooth. Everybody here is very welcoming. It makes it like a home feeling experience for me. Everybody's just so nice. The people here, you meet people everywhere, they're just so nice. And so I would say that makes me feel like I'm at home. It makes me feel special. It just makes me feel like this is the place for me, honestly. And so around here, just make you want to be a better person. Like, it's just positivity in the air. I always tell people, like, being in this environment is just, it's BYU focused. Like, this area is focused on BYU. So if you're a part of BYU, this is what the place is. So it's like, it's just, you're a part of the family. And for me, that's what it is for me. So I just enjoy being here.
Did you have any preconceived notions on what it was going to be like to be here, and how has it been different than what you either thought or expected?
So I would say when I was at Baylor and I got in the portal, they recruited me to come here.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you would hear about all the different stuff, and I was like, I don't know if that might be the place for me. But this last time, I was like, I'm going to visit. I didn't really give them the opportunity to recruit me that much or that hard the first time. So I was like, I was going to come here and just see what it's about, because everybody that's not from here have such a big opinion about it. But I've never got to – I'm the guy that I want to experience it myself. Like, let me go fill it out for myself. And it's actually better than what I thought it would be. It's rare that you go to a place and everybody's just so nice. Like, I haven't had a bad encounter since I've been here. Been here since January, about January 8th. Everybody you see, from kids to elderly people. I remember when I first got here and I was Ubering. And this one woman, I can't remember her name, but we had a long conversation. And I was running from store to store because I was needing some things for my apartment. And the stores weren't having it at the time. And she was like, "It's okay, I got you. We can just go to another store." And she was just like so nice. She was like, "You don't even have to pay me." She like turned the Uber app off. I was like, wow. Of course, I tipped her pretty good. But it was just the fact that she was just willing to drive me around and with no issue, just conversate with her, Like, she was just so nice. So nice. And so that was when I first got here, and that made me feel good. Like, okay, hopefully everybody I meet like this. She set the expectation pretty high for everybody, so I would say it's been everything that I thought it would be.
So
it
shout
even more.
Shout out to that Uber driver. I don't know if she's listening to this podcast, yeah. But hey, if she's listening, you have made an impression on Gary that now you've set the standard
she
for every
standard.
BYU fan here.
She set the standard for
You know, and that story that you just told. In terms of, you know, the first time around, you didn't come out here to visit it. But the second time, you're like, I'm going to try this. What a great life lesson that is, just in general. Because I think we all, when something's unknown, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to, I don't want to try that. But when we finally do, number one, we realize it's probably not what we thought.
Right.
Second of all, it's better than what we thought in most cases. I think that's a really good life lesson. Not just in that situation, but in daily life.
Right. That's something I'm one of those people, I've been like that my entire life. Everybody has a say-so. Sometimes you got to just push that say-so out and ignore it and just take a leap of faith on your own. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's good. I think a lot of times it's good. And for depends on who you are and the type of person you are, it's better to just figure it out and find out yourself, because then you know for sure.
Right.
Because everybody going to say what they have to say, but maybe you feel different. And so it's like, give yourself the opportunity to feel different and feel how different something may be.
How often or how many times have you thought back when you put on that BYU jersey or you see that BYU helmet, kind of thinking back to when you were at Baylor facing BYU or at USF facing, have you thought about those times? It's like, wow, boy, things are certainly different over the last couple of years.
I actually was talking to one of my homeboys the other day. We were on Call of Duty together. And he was like, bro, it's crazy you at BYU. He was like, my daddy, too. My dad said something about it because my dad went back and watched the BYU game when I was at Baylor last week. He called me about it. Picked my brain a little bit. Got on me a little bit about some things I did in the game. But, yeah, I sat up and thought about it. I was like, man, that's crazy. But I've thought about it in probably the most weirdest way. Not the weirdest way, I would say. I thought about it in the amount of, I remember what I was preparing to go against when I was at Baylor and USF. And the thing for me is about that we need to get back to that standard that I played against, the level of competitiveness, the hard workers, the team, the chemistry that they had. I'm like, okay, we need to get back to that. I'm not even thinking about going against them. I'm thinking about how we were trying to prepare for them and then just being out there going against those guys, how physical they were, how locked in they were. Like, some of the nicest football players you're ever going to meet, because you meet a lot of guys that I want to talk a lot of trash.
Yeah.
They're not going to talk too much trash, but they're going to make sure you feel and know that they're there. So it was like, we got to get back to that. They played hard. They executed. They were just dominant all over the field. Like, that's the thing. You can go find guys who run 4.2s and do all this at all these other places, but this place is just the standard. Everybody's expectation of standard is so high to just – I don't know, to prove everybody wrong. It's like when you played BYU, they had an edge. And that edge is what we got to get back. We can't be comfortable and satisfied with winning 5 games. We can't be comfortable and satisfied with having a good practice. It's like back then playing BYU, it's like we expect to win. We're supposed to win. Like, we're not the underdogs, regardless of what ESPN may say, regardless of what anybody else may say, we're not the underdogs. And it's like, I remember that. I remember my first hit. In a BYU game, we was in quick game protection at Baylor, and the left side end was free. I said, okay, they here. They're ready to play today. So it's like, okay, we got to get back to that. They got to be the standard on offense and defense every single game, every single day.
Well, and maybe you just answered it there, but what was the deciding factor in coming to BYU? What led you to saying, this is the place I want to be?
It was the year for me to lock in on ball. I have a year left. I got blessed with the opportunity to be able to play again. Never thought I'd play again, honestly. So for me, I wanted to come back and go to a place where it would literally be about ball. Like, let me X out all of this distraction, all of the outside noise. Let me lock in on ball. And also, Coach A-Rod and Coach Matt came to see me. Had some ties with Matt when I was at Baylor. And the offense, I actually enjoyed being in the offense and producing it. Just for me, it was different. It was a special offense, and I thought I had some pretty good success in it. So it's like, okay, I've actually never, crazy fact, I've never been in the offense for 2 years. And my entire year in college, never ever. And so I was like, okay, you get the opportunity to learn something another year again and go deeper into it. I've always had to learn everything within a year. So I was excited about that. And I was like, okay, I came down to this place, Coach Kalani. My mom came with me. Everything just felt so at home. My mom's son, I tell a story for the rest of my life. I remember 12 o'clock at night, or 12 in the morning, technically, sure. To be technical. My mom was in there singing karaoke with the coaches and their family. And I'm tired because I'm on the visit. We watch film, did all this, and I'm tired. I'm trying to get her to go to bed. So I just have to walk out on her. And she come find me. Okay, like I'm like, okay, we need to go get into bed. But it was just like how welcoming they were for just her.
Yeah.
I mean, people speak about it all the time, but typically if you can win a recruit mom's over, you can win every recruit over. And so it's like they won my mom and I. And we was like, this is the place for me. Like the opportunities outside of football here, like that catches your attention, and that's rare to be able to have.
You had mentioned that you honestly thought that you may never play football again. Is that strictly because of the injuries that you were dealing with? How was that to deal with? Because, and we're going to get into in just a minute sort of how football came into your life and your upbringing. We're going to get to that in a second. But this has been a part of your life to this point. And to think that maybe it was done, how difficult was that?
It was difficult. I give all the credit to my mama. She had me get through it. Just got the shoulder injury. You know, they tell you don't hurt your, don't tear your labrum, don't tear your rotator cuff and your throwing shoulder, all of that. And I remember when I got hit on my arm, like when I couldn't move my arm, I was more mad that I got hurt than the pain. And I remember I came in and sit down with the doctors the next week, that Monday, and they told me what it was. I just walked out. Called my mama, sat on the phone with her for a while, probably like an hour. Brutal. Sat on the phone with her about an hour. Just going through the rehab process. They told me it was going to be a sunrise. Dario told me it was going to be a sunrise. It was my head trainer at the time. Told me it was going to be a sunrise. Up and down, up and down, up and down. It was literally up and down. Literally up and down for the longest. And anytime you thought you'd be making some progress, you would do something new, and it would be so hard, you'd be like, I just won't be able to do it. And I remember my first time trying to throw the ball. So I was throwing tennis balls. Not footballs, tennis balls. So it was hard to throw a tennis ball. Then I remember my first time throwing a football, couldn't throw the ball 10 yards. I was like, yeah. After about a month of that, then 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, you go by, and you're still dealing with these struggles. And it's like, say you go throw two times a week. You don't even throw that much. Throw 40 passes each day. They're not even that far. You like, dang, the third day, they tell you to throw again. You can't even throw. Your arm hurt, your arm sore, stiff. And so you just like, yeah. Like having those days, I had like nights of not sleeping. You just like, yeah, I probably don't. This might not get back to where it's supposed to be ever again. And you just have so many days. Think about a year of that. Like a year, okay, 6 months. You get to 6 months, you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad. But then you look back and reflect, and you get to month 9, 10, and you're still having some issues like that. And you're like, okay, I normally feel strong, feel good. But once you get to doing all those physical activities, you start to feel it. And it's just some days where it was like, yeah, I don't know.
And it messes with your mind.
Oh.
As much as physically you're trying to get back to where you were and being frustrated from a physical standpoint, I've got to imagine mentally it was probably 10 times worse.
Rehab is the mental fight. It's not the physical fight. You're going to go through so much pain in football, dealing with injury, dealing with just getting hit in the game. The feeling you get after that, the feeling you get from workouts, the mental that like something used to be so easy to you. And you could always naturally do it, and then you get injured and you can't do it. You can't lift your arm. Think about that.
Yeah.
I always put it in the simplest way. I remember I couldn't lift my arm. I remember my sister came to help take care of me after I had surgery, and I got mad at her and I was so mean because I needed help to do everything, because it was my right arm, I'm right-handed, I needed help to do everything, and I'm just like, I've always been a guy, I ain't want no help, I wanted to figure out on my own, and I needed help, and I was just like, that was just eating at me, and I say that was for sure the hardest one of my life. I had some days, I had some days. But it's all good now. It's all good.
What is it like now to be on the other side of it? do you look back on it now in terms of it being a blessing for you, or is it still hard to look back on those times and sort of relive it?
Honestly, I look on it, look back on it, and it's a blessing, but I still...
It's tough, isn't it?
It's still tough, but it's a blessing because when you're in it, you don't think you're going to get through it. Like, for the longest, I thought...
You're like, I can't lift my arm. How in the world am I going to get back on a football field and throw a 50-yard out route?
You know what exactly. I mean? Exactly. So you're thinking like that, and it's like, for me, that's what it was. That's the way I look back on it. I'm like, I remember I just... Everything that I would think in my mind I couldn't do, I end up accomplishing. Like, I end up... You won't be able to throw the ball again. I end up accomplishing. I can't throw the ball. You won't be able to throw the ball. I remember trying to throw the ball 10 yards and couldn't throw it above the man's knee. I accomplished it. So those small accomplishments and those small goals, like, that's the thing in it. I couldn't get caught up in the big picture. If you look at the big picture, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Look at the small picture. And that's the thing. That's what, like, reflecting on that make me, that's what I talk to people about in life. Look at the small picture. Look at the small goals. Don't worry about the big goal. Put the big goal at the end. How are you going to get to that big goal? And once I was able to process that, it started to help me. Just small goals, small goals, small goals. Like, people talk about what I want to accomplish in spring ball. I got small goals. Small goals. That's why I'm, after the injury, that's where I'm going to live my life at. My small goals to get to my big goals, because that's what helped me. When I didn't think I could get through it, that's what helped me. And so for me, that's what it's about. I'm going to focus on that. That's it.
Coming up after our break, what life was like for Gary growing up in rural Arkansas. You're listening to Deep Blue. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. Jason Shepherd with you. Let's continue our conversation with BYU quarterback Gary Bohannon.
All right, you've mentioned your mom, you mentioned your sister, so let's talk about you growing up. Small town in Arkansas, Earl, Arkansas,
Earl,
correct?
Earl, Arkansas, yes, sir.
So, small town, I think, what, fewer than 2,000 people
yeah,
in
like
the town?
3,000, yeah.
So, yeah,
like
so
that.
We're you're very small. Take me through what your early life was growing up and what your family was.
So, I have two older sisters and a younger brother. In the house, though, it was my older sister and my younger brother. It was us three. Growing up, I was the kid that was always outside. I was not an iPad kid. I was not a video game kid. I didn't start playing video games until I got to college, to be honest. I had them, but I didn't play them seriously. Like, my homeboy, like one of my homeboys, OJ, he would come over and try to play the game, but I wasn't a game guy. I was, like, always outside trying to play football, ride four-wheelers, dirt bikes, play basketball. My mom, I would get in trouble for not being in the house on time. I was that kid. Like, it was just, I just enjoyed being outside and doing physical activities. So for me, it was all about my family. We did a lot of family things, played outside together. Mom even played football and basketball with me too. My sister didn't do it though, but my mom did.
Does mom have game?
Yeah, mom had game. Mom had game. I'm going to be honest with you, my granny too. My granny, I remember high school, my granny, I would go stay with my granny junior high school, and she would go outside and play catch me. I'd throw 50 to 100 balls outside my granny.
Really?
Yes. Yes. So it was like everybody, like growing up in a small town, everybody's kind of outside doing physical activities. So it was like, it didn't shock me, because I remember growing up on Sundays, we would have dinner at my grandma's house and all my uncles, aunties, everybody get outside and we'd have rotation of basketball games, 5-on-5 in the street. Like, this was my entire life growing up. This all we did. And so for me, just doing things like that, having those Sundays, having those days of the week where every holiday we always got together. So, like, for me, the small town feel, it was just a family atmosphere. Like the same thing here. Yeah. For me, it's just 2,000 or 3,000 people. So, it's like, for me, my hometown's my everything.
Right.
Like, they mean, that place mean the world to me, because it helped shape me into who I am today. I mean, you're going to have your fans out there that may not agree with what you did on the field, but, you know, back home, you always got this support system that watched you from age 10.
Yeah.
Start playing sports, supported you, and still support you to this day. It's like that's not what the feeling. You won't get that feeling coming from a huge community. You might have a piece of it, but your entire community supporting you, that's how you know you're from a small town. That's how you know when it's real.
So did I also see that your mom was also your principal?
Yeah, my mom was my principal.
So, okay, how did that work? Because it's not like you can get away from school when you go home if your mom is your principal. How did that work growing up?
So first, my mom was a teacher. So my mom was my fourth grade teacher first. So I got a Fourth grade was a little difficult. I was still in my little, kind of little off the chain phase.
You can't get away with anything.
You didn't get away with anything. So, but it was good though because it made me lift my standard of how I should be at school, the type of person I should be, the way I should interact with my peers and interact with my teachers. It forced me to take faster, sooner steps and bigger steps with that. So I'm appreciative of it. And then when she became my principal, she was my principal for a long time, like a long time, maybe either seventh or eighth through 12th grade, she was my principal.
So not like a year or two. We're talking like four or 5 years. Career,
yeah, for sure. But it was good. People, I don't know how to put it. I actually enjoyed it. Because I'm at school all day. I'm going to work out. I'm going to go to some kind of practice. So by the time I get home every day, it's 7, 8 o'clock. That's when I get to see my mama. Instead, I get to see my mama daily. Yeah. Walk through the halls, I get to see my mama. Couldn't interact with her like she my mama because she didn't play that.
So you couldn't call her mom at school? Did you have to call like a professional name, right?
Yeah, she wanted me to call her name, like Ms. Bohannon. Yeah. She wanted me to call her that. So I called her that, but I only had one incident with her. I was a senior. And are we done with classes, seriously? Like, well, I was technically done. I know I was graduating early, so I was done. And so one day I'm just in the gym hooping. Not supposed to be in class. This is one story I got. I was a good kid. Don't get me wrong. But this one story. And I'm like four coaches came to the school. Like Arkansas, Indiana, Baylor, and Ole Miss. And she come knock on my door with my head football coach. On the school door. On my classroom door.
Yeah.
They're like, where is Gary? He ain't been here yet. And I was supposed to be in class. And so next thing you know, she called me on the intercom. I didn't hear because I'm in the gym playing basketball. So she decided to walk to the gym with the coaches. She called by my government name, my full name. Off to the side, grabbed me by my ear. I'm thinking, I'm 6'2", 6'3".
In front of all these coaches?
In front of all the coaches, classmates, whatever. She did not care. She was like, don't you ever be outside of class again, skipping class. And look what you did. You got coaches here. She like going off in my ear. I'm like, yes, ma'am. But it was good, though. I enjoyed being able to see her because, like you said, I grew up in a small town. I'm a family guy. Like, I like to be around my family. Like, the people I care about, like, that's what I like to do. That's what I enjoy. That makes me the happiest. That makes me be the best version of myself. So I enjoyed it.
You're obviously known for football, but you've brought up basketball quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Was basketball ever an opportunity for you like football has been?
Yeah, it was. I played basketball before I started playing football. I got 3 state championship rings in high school basketball. I played AAU, but travel basketball, EYBL. I actually got my first offer as a freshman in high school from Arkansas State for basketball and football.
Wow.
Yeah, I could do a little something. Nothing too crazy. I could do a little something, but.
So why football? What pushed you that direction?
I just told this story yesterday. I went to Atlanta, EYBL tournament, and the kids were just way too big. Like, kids nowadays, 7 foot and skilled.
Oh, yeah, 7 foot like with handle and can shoot from 3.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And so I went to that tournament, and I've been playing good. Now, don't get me wrong, I played good in the tournament, but everybody that covered me was at least 6'5". At least. And we played – we played that tournament, and I realized by the end of the tournament I got home and talked to my homeboy, Justice Hill. I said, yeah, bro, I think this is my last tournament. Like, there's no way. And he's smaller than me. He was able to go to college and play basketball, but it was the skill set. And I love the competitiveness and everything of it, but it was the skill set of how big the guys were. Like, everybody was bringing the ball down the court. You could be 7 foot bringing the ball down the court, 6'5 bringing the ball down the court. Shooting, dunking, dribbling, fast off the dribble, like fast off the pick and roll, just insane. And then another thing, I also didn't like the physical part of football. The
like
contact.
Taking the hits.
Like, there's nothing like that. You don't get that in. Like, you don't get that. And that was it for me.
Yeah, if they touch you in basketball, they're blowing the whistle.
And so for me, I was never a fan of the softness of the game. So it's like, for me, I was like, I wanted to be physical, like. Anybody tell you that ever hit me in the game, I get up smiling, tell them something. Like, okay, I'm the type of guy, I don't feel like I'm in the game until I get hit. It's weird. So I like, I need to get hit pretty early. And I like coaches even know, like, he ready to get hit. Like, people always talk about contacting quarterbacks, like the physicality of the game, which is really not good to be.
Sure.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
But that's what it was that attracted me about the game. It was like the physicality. Like, man, to just go dominate. Just dominate a guy. Just go out there and input your force and like that kind of stuff. It's like, that you don't get that anywhere, and you can't legally get that anywhere. Like, you can legally go out there and hit a man.
Yeah.
Like, you train for this, like, that's just the fun part of the game. I don't care what people say. For me, it's like now they're taking some of the physicality away, which is safer for sure. But that's the part that I think most of us guys that got into football, that was like the number one thing for us, like the physicality of the game.
Well, in high school, you certainly made the right choice. And correct me on these numbers if they're not correct. You passed for over 11,000 yards in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You passed or ran for 212 touchdowns in high school. And you also won two high school basketball championships, as you said. Yeah. So you start to then have all these football schools paying attention. Arkansas, Alabama, LSU, all mm-hmm. interested in you. When you were thinking about where you were going to play college football, what was important to you in making that decision?
Life after football, the education, the family type atmosphere, going to a place where I felt comfortable, leaving home, a good program with good leaders that not only developed you as football players, but developed you as men. For me, it was bigger than football. It's always been bigger than football for me. And getting injured helped me really realize that. But that's what it was. I wanted to go to a place where I felt at home, where I would learn, I would grow, I would develop, get my degrees, and just continue to inspire people that's around me. It's like I wanted to go somewhere where it elevated me and pushed me to be a better person, a better man, and helped me grow my faith. Like, those things helped me grow as a family man, helped me grow as a father. Those things were important to me, so that's what I focused on.
You ultimately chose Baylor, and we'll get into that. But going into that process, did you have a dream school that you wanted to go to?
I did. Growing up, I wanted to go to Auburn. Big Cam Newton guy.
Okay.
Big fan of Cam Newton. I love Cam Newton. Always will, always have. Just the way he played the game. He was just – I talk about the physicality of the game.
Yeah.
That's the physicality of the game. Like, a guy that just goes out there and don't put a position on what he play. Don't say quarterback. Guy's just a dominant physical guy, like, all around. So for me, I grew up, I wanted to go to Auburn. Big fan of Auburn, but then started getting offers and it didn't matter anymore. I was just like, because you grow up, like, I remember, you know, do you remember when people take the pictures with all the college mail?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
For the longest, that was my lock screen.
Really?
That was my lock screen. That was my lock screen in eighth grade. From until 11th grade, that was my lock screen. I was like, I just want to be able to take this picture one day. Like, you see everybody quoting about it, tweeting about it.
This big mound of letters.
Big mound of letters. And I remember getting all my mail and being able to take that picture. And for a lot of people, that was like, it's like maybe not a big deal. But for me, it was like, you know where I'm from. This is real. This is an opportunity. I got to take that picture and I posted it, went viral. Nobody from my era and my decade had done that. So it's like, for me, it was not like, for me right now, I look back, it's all these kids down there getting scholarships and going to college. I'm like, I love this. Like, that make me want to, I get sentimental about that just because coaches didn't come to the recruit. Like, I was told my entire life growing up, you need to transfer and move to another school. I was told at 10th, 11th grade, and I was like, nah, it's bigger than me.
For someone that has talked so much about your upbringing and your community growing up, with the story that you just told, what did it mean to you to be a role model for your community to show others that you don't have to go to another school to get discovered, that you can be from Earl, Arkansas and make it? What did it mean to you to be a role model like that?
For me, I was young, but for me, it was like, that's what it's about. Like, God gave me these gifts and this opportunity. Use your platform. Like, that's the thing. Everybody get on these platforms. Use your platform to inspire those that you care about, the community that you care about. So for me, it was like, I'm going to do this here. It's bigger than me. Like, I had no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't be able to do it, because I knew I could do it. And that's the thing, you put your mind, that was the thing I had, like, even during the rehab process, I had to reflect on that, like, the things that I thought I wouldn't be able to do that I ended up accomplishing. So it's like, if you really, this is anything, any aspect of life, you really put your mind to it, you can do it. Put your mind to it and put the work in. Like, it's not about what people see you doing, it's what they don't see you doing. That's the big thing with whatever it is in life. And so for me, it was that. And it's like, now, everybody, like, I talk to so many people back home right now, like, all the girls that play basketball, all the boys that's getting scholarship offers, that may be in college somewhere, wherever it is, but you got the opportunity to go play college ball. That's a small percentage of the world that gets to do that. Yeah. Take advantage of that. And so it's like, for me, that's all it was about for me. Like, that's all it was about. And then I'm about to tell you, that's, I didn't care about too much besides ball, and trying to make sure that I influenced everybody that was around me, because small town people, you know, people don't have big dreams and big goals.
Because they don't think it's possible.
They don't think it's possible. And growing up in that community, you don't, people don't leave like that. Like, people haven't seen things outside. So when that's what you see, you, it does not seem possible because you've never seen it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I tell them, go visit. Go visit your schools. Don't just because this coach telling you this, don't just go to that school. Bro, you never been to Texas. You never been to Washington. Yeah. Like, go see it. Like, go see it like it's way bigger than there.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all I can preach to them. Like, come, like, just go see it. Like, life is bigger than Earl, Arkansas.
We have so much more to talk about with Gary, earning 2 degrees at Baylor, the lessons he learned on the football field, and what this football journey has been like with his 4-year-old son. That's all coming up on our next episode of the Deep Blue Podcast. My name is Jason Shepherd. Thank you so much for listening. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.